Hi, I'm Ryan.
I'm Kyle.
And I'm Jason, the creator of the Army Showcase. An epic battle for the end of the world is upon us. But how epic can it be with only 14 figures in the box? Find out as we tear into Age of Ragnarok Confrontation of Iraqi Miniatures in this episode of the Tabletop Battlefield. Welcome back to Season 2 of the Tabletop Battlefield, the official podcast of the Army Showcase at www.tabletopbattlefield.com. We're going to dive into our review of Age of Ragnarok Confrontation of Arrakis in just a moment here. It's actually the fourth edition of this game, but it's the first time any of us have ever played it. Mm-hmm. And what we're going to do, actually go over our review format here, because we're going to change things up just a little bit.
Of course you always tell me last minute.
Of course I tell you all last minute. I haven't told you anything about what we're doing yet.
You told me that it's going to be changed, that's it.
Honestly, it's like a monkey in a zoo cage. I mean, just things just go wild.
Yeah, pretty much, to some extent. When you see me screaming the microphone over and over again. But
okay. So tell everybody about the new format.
So here's what we're going to do. We normally do a first impression. We're going to get rid of that crap, because we're just going to dive right in a minute here to our Haterade and So Sweet segments, which I forgot to handle the cards for it, but that's all right. We'll deal without it. We got the little counters here. That's all we need. I also have the soapbox card, too. We'll get to that in a minute. So, to give you a quick overview of this game, what it is, as I mentioned, is the fourth edition of this game. And this edition, from according to Wikipedia, introduces squad-based combat, similar to how 40K, Fantasy, War Machine, and some other games work. But the big change is pre-painted plastic miniatures from the original line of paint-them-yourself metal miniatures. So that's got some people angry, some people kind of upset, you know. Some people like it, some people don't, usual kind of stuff. And what you get in this box set, this is the starter set we got here. Like I said, 14 figures. Five of them belong to the Wolfen faction, who are obviously giant wolves. And nine of them belong to the Griffin faction, who are the human guys in this one. Of that, you also get six dice, which are pretty much normal D6s with a fancy little dragon symbol for the sixth spot. You get a couple stat cards. You get a few other cards here that are the universal resolution tables. We'll talk about those later. A nice full-color rule book that Ryan's got sitting in front of him. A battle map, a double-sided battle map, which unfolds pretty nicely. And I think it's 54 centimeters by about 40 centimeters. I don't know the exact dimensions it says in the book here, but it's about that. And finally, the last thing I think you get... Oh, two things, that's right. This ruler, which we... The clicking noise drives Kyle absolutely crazy.
It drives everyone crazy.
Yeah, it drives everyone crazy. And when you got it extended like this, it slowly goes back in. Come on. And this is a ruler with two sides to it. One side has inches and centimeters, even though inches aren't used in this game. And the other side has a little range measurement system, where essentially every section is 10 centimeters, and that's used in range combat. But since the starter set doesn't have any range units, we really don't get to use that at all, which kind of sucks. Gameplay is pretty straightforward. If you ever played miniatures games before, you move guys around according to number of centimeters. You base people to attack them. Attack is all done with these special D6s they have. Basically, you roll once to see if you hit the person. And if you hit them, you got to roll. For each hit, you got to roll a die, seeing if you wound them. Obviously, wounding them, you inflict damage. When guys take enough damage, they die. That's pretty much the way the game works. It's pretty simple, straightforward. So should we dive right into Haterade and So Sweets?
Let's do it.
Okay. Let's go ahead. Who wants to start first? Kyle, you want to start first? Or?
Well, it doesn't matter too much.
I'll start.
Okay, Ryan's going to start. Name your topic and we'll go from there.
The topic is the figures themselves.
Okay. What do you say?
I'd say they are sweet. It's probably the only thing that is sweet about the game.
I agree with you on that. Kyle, what do you like? You like the figures or don't like them?
I do like the figures.
You like the figures?
They're painted really well in comparison to other pre-painted figures.
Very, very wonderfully done.
Yes. Beautiful. For the most part, they're absolutely, at least 14 in here, are absolutely beautiful. Like I said, they're plastic, and they all have these little articulated joints to them. At least one.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I did not see that before.
Yeah. Because the great thing is you don't have to paint them either.
Some people enjoy that.
I love painted figures.
As for me, I mean, I would enjoy either way.
So the articulated joints, like, it's like Kyle didn't notice them because they really don't really do anything to add to the gameplay. But there can be some questionable quality issues with articulated joints. That's why Kyle, one of my Atlas figures, sitting here.
I was wondering why that was here.
Yes. This is the One-Eyed Jack Hammerfall Atlas for the MechWarrior Age of Destruction game by WizKids. And these figures are all articulated. This is why I tend not to like articulated joints. Whoop, there goes his arm. Whoop, there goes his entire torso. So, I mean...
Well, hey, you could just call it damage.
I mean, granted, it's critical battle damage. Granted, you know, it's kind of fun that you can move the guys around and, you know, kind of pretend like they're, like, facing towards each other and stuff, but...
It's not a necessary thing, but it's just a cool thing.
Yeah, as long as it doesn't fall apart, then I like it.
And even these little figures can move their heads and their torso.
Yep, they have two joints each. So, most of the figures are held together pretty well. Cerathus, is that how you decided to pronounce his name? Cerathus?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, the Cerathus figure is a bit loose, but...
Yeah, and another thing about the figures is when you look inside the rule book, you see pictures of all these...
Oh, they're beautiful.
Jason, if you want to take pictures of these later on and post them... while I'm talking, I mean, you see all these creatures, large and small, different ways you can build castles, and you can tell there's a whole world of warriors and
possibilities.
Like, yes.
My favorite is the one that obviously failed at tryouts for being a Tyranid for Warhammer 40,000. I'll post a link to him. Also, last thing, they're expensive. Yes. Starter set $70 for 14 figures and a bunch of stuff.
Well, that's a hater in itself, so we can...
Okay.
That's something different.
Do that.
So, we'll talk about that later. Okay. My turn then. I guess I'll go next. Let's see if we can go 2 minutes on this topic. It's gonna be interesting. How crappy this ruler is.
I hate it.
Hate it. I don't know if we'll get 2 minutes on it, but we'll try, and we probably have better things to talk about. Uh-huh. But yeah. I described the ruler already, and I don't know if ours just is broken.
Ow. The only thing I'd love to do is take this mallet and smash it. That would be a joy.
Unfortunately, if it wasn't for the other side, I would just get rid of the ruler completely.
You could turn around. Well, can't you like break it open and just use that just ruler part instead of, you know, using the box?
But how far does it go out though? That'd be the only problem. If it goes really far.
127 centimeters. Or that, for those people, that's 50 inches. So it's kind of a long ruler to break out of its, on its own.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
But the fact is that it takes about, you know, it's got a little button here to retract it. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to time. How long does it take me to retract the entire thing? That's got to be so annoying for the poor people who listen to us.
Okay, tell me when you're starting. I will check out the time.
Ready, set, go. Two presses, three presses, four presses. Is it caught in something? Five presses. Hey, it's going pretty good there. Oh, wait. Six presses, seven presses, eight presses. Apparently, if it's hanging down a little bit, it won't retract at all. So we're going on... Done.
18 seconds.
18 seconds. Quality piece of crap there. Anything else you want to make fun of the ruler about? I mean, it would be nice if they had two rulers, so you don't have to hand it back and forth.
Yeah, no kidding.
But...
Hey, the high-quality ruler is part of the reason it's so expensive.
This isn't made by WizKids either, is it?
No, it's not. This is Rackham. Okay. They're a French company.
That explains it right there.
Yeah.
Okay,
I apologize.
I realized.
Yeah.
I'm surprised. Wow. I'm surprised they even make warlike figures. I didn't know they were warlike, you know?
I'm sorry.
The Orions do not expressly match those of the Army Showcase Jason Rutherford or Kyle or the Tabletop Battlefield. Thank you very much. Yeah, okay, so that's about it for the... We bashed the ruler for 2 minutes. Let's do something more productive
now. And other things, too.
I will go with the cost of this game.
Okay. What do you think?
I completely hate it. Completely and utterly hate it. It's, from what you've told me, it's way too expensive.
Was it
$30 for, what, five groups of figures?
Jason, how much did this set cost?
The starter set was $70.
$70?
Yes.
Wow.
And how much did, like, when we viewed the Heroescape Swarm of the Morrow, how much did that set cost?
So, I guess this comparison. A Swarm of the Morrow, which had 24 figures and 70 terrain pieces, I think, was $42.
Wow.
Or 40, depending where you get it. Even Warhammer 40,000 and, you know, like the starter sets for 40K Fantasy and Games Workshop, a company notorious for being expensive, all have much better deals with anywhere from about 30 to 100 figures in a box or $50 to $60 plus rules and terrain and stuff. WizKids games, they're usually pretty cheaper.
They're cheap.
But yeah, like I said, this game, aside from the starter set, is sold in squads for the most part. You get us about 6-7 figures depending on who's in the squad. List price is around $25 to $30, depending on the squad.
So they're selling about a dollar a figure.
So wait a minute. Say
$25 to $30 divided by 7 is about $3 or $4 a figure.
Hold on, I thought there was six groups you had in.
How much
each
would
one.
This?
No, six.
How much would these figures cost?
This would probably be about $30 right there for those.
Oh, that's $30. Okay, I thought you were saying that there was like a couple squads in there. That's what I was thinking.
Is a couple squads.
Because honestly, there's a slight irony here for me because the fact that these guys, the fact they're assembled and pre-painted would technically make them worth more in terms of pure value.
I can understand
but
that.
But I guess for me being a fan of painting, I'm actually willing to pay for unpainted figures because there's a whole experience to me for painting.
So HeroScape has beautifully articulated figures.
And the fact that these are plastic figures, not metal ones, I don't see where all these costs are coming from.
Yeah.
I think the reality, though, is these games, because they can mark them up, are marked up.
Yeah.
I mean, I can take guesses of what Games Workshop stuff's marked up, and it's huge.
But this is even more massive.
Probably, yeah. All right, well, we're back to Ryan.
Okay, I had something in my head, now it's gone.
You had something in your head?
Yeah. It was very
painful. What, you lost your brain?
It was very painful.
I mean, apparently your brain's gone now,
That's what I was saying. That's what I meant.
That's upsetting.
Take a smell away from me, please. Pass me. I'll come back.
Okay.
It'll come to me.
Next thing I want to say, I want to comment on that I actually like.
Oh wait, I got it.
Okay, go for it. What is it?
The rule book.
Okay. Rule book, as in terms of the quality of the rule book or the rules themselves?
The rules themselves and how they're drawn out is something that I really hate.
And I'm gonna say as in how they're laid out, I don't like the rules.
Yeah.
This isn't necessarily the quality of the actual gameplay. This is how the rule book's kind of laid out. Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, this is my first time. I have not read the rule book.
Yeah, he hasn't read the rule book yet.
I cannot say either way.
All right, Ryan, let's go ahead and have you dive. Do you start off? Why don't you like how the rulebook's laid out?
Okay. Well, when I first read it, and they started laying the stuff out, it started out really good to where I'm like starting to understand it. But then you would get to where you'd have to flip pages back, and you were wondering, okay, which site is where? How can you move this unit with that, and how do you go back with attack and defense? Because you're facing this scenario, and if this is your first time playing
the fifth one, fear changes sides.
Yeah, fear changes side. And you're thinking, okay, I need to figure out how do you do the attack and the defense, and you still don't remember what the cards mean yet, the symbols on the cards.
Oh, you talk about the Marauder stuff.
Not exactly. And you got to go back, and you got to look at the movement of defense for the cards, or the attack and defense, if you haven't had those figured out yet.
And then you're talking about how you can't look back at the cards for the Marauder?
That we'll get to later, because that's about activation sequences.
Okay.
So my comments on the book are how it's basically laid out is just five scenarios, and the idea is the rules leading up before that scenario are all you need to play. So I think that they try to go for an approach kind of like Lord of the Rings or Classic Battletech does it, where they essentially encapsulate chunks of rules, where, you start with these rules.
Which is totally good.
It's good.
It's totally good.
You start small with, melee combat, and then you add, your courage in, and you add, your elixir stuff and all immortals and things. But the problem is, the rules aren't really that well encapsulated. Like with the courage stuff, I sat there for a few minutes trying to read their courage rules and figure out how to do something, but the problem is half the courage rules are where they should be, the other half are back at the start of the book, where you don't need them for five times later, five scenarios later. So it's also, there's these little sidebars in the book, these little yellow boxes, which actually have critical rules to them, where normally in most books they're just kind of side notes where you can get more information or examples or something. But all right, that's my 2 minutes. That's 2 minutes. So let's jump on to next topic that I like. No, now what was it?
I'm sorry.
Oh, yes. I like the bonus dice rolls. When you're doing a lot of activities, you roll a natural 6 in a die, you get an additional die to roll. So you can really stack up hits and things. So what do you think
you
about
know what?
That?
This is one of the few things I think was also so sweet.
Yeah, that was same for me. That was definitely a sweet thing.
So the reason I like this is kind of a little different than what other games do. Where, like I was saying, when you're doing, say, an attack test or you're rolling for, like, an initiative, you can possibly do it a few other things. When you roll your dice to resolve the whatever it is, if you get a little dragon symbol or a natural six, that die stands itself, plus then you get to roll an additional die. So say you have two attacks, and one of them, in this case, came with a six. You now get your two hits, plus you roll a third die to see if you get a third hit. And if that gets a six, you go on and on and on. So you essentially get this chain of multiple hits over and over and over again.
And the six is the dragon symbol on the top.
So I like, because it really kind of creates some crazy swings in the game. Like, you know, literally one or two couple of troopers can kill some of the big guys, so they can just change to six in a row. So it kind of evens out the power disparity between the superhero guys and the basic guys a little bit, I think.
Yeah, but this will go into my next topic, which I'll go into later, why I don't think it's the greatest thing. I love it, but not for the scenarios that we added in.
Anything you want to add to it? Nope. Okay. I'll cut that one off short then.
Okay.
Okay, Kyle, your turn.
I do not like how luck is way too big a factor, especially in smaller battles. This game forces you to have large-scale battles.
To where the small scale aren't as satisfying as a large scale would be.
Well, I don't like that either. What do you say, Ryan?
I'd say I hate it too.
Okay.
So
go ahead. Describe the situation.
Okay, in this case, where we have a small battle here.
Can I jump for one quick
second?
Go ahead. Because the way the figures are distributed in this game, you effectively have two hero characters and two squads. So effectively four game units that you control during a battle. Each side basically controls up to two different game units in this battle. So it's a relatively small battle in terms of the actual game units. Keep talking.
Well, in this case, when you have in your case where you had three guys on my one or something? Was it three guys on one? Or you had one guy and two of my guys?
Yeah, okay.
Remember? And you could only roll one die, and you got, here's a six! Six.
Oh,
six,
right. Six. A string of sixes. So.
And you killed off two of my guys?
Yes.
So in some way, you really don't like the sixes if it's...
Well, in a small-scale battle, because there goes my force right there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that's just, it's nice to be able to, say, hey, I have a chance of winning. Mm. But at the same time, it's not nice if, your squad is, completely annihilated in one turn. Mm-hmm. And you're like, well, there goes the game.
I think it goes hand-in-hand a little bit with kind of how this doesn't give a very good experience of the total game that it could be.
Yes, mm-hmm. Exactly.
Because you have so few units, one or two critical shots will just ruin the game for you. And combined with the fact you have so few units, a lot of tactics that could develop from moving your guys around and having, building battle lines and crushing the enemy's flanks and trying to outflank them and stuff can occur in this small scenario.
Exactly. So it's just pure luck in these small battles.
Anything you want to add in for the last few seconds? Okay.
So, and that's pretty much it. It's just these smaller scale battles are way too pure luck that you need to get massive amounts of figures just so that, luck isn't the only thing you need.
Yeah. It'd be kind of cool if they had a larger starter set, I think. Or at least more diverse units. So we actually had, each guy's had some melee and shooting units. So at least you get some more tactics in there, but whatever.
Your magician units.
Yeah, something.
Other than just guys just tearing at each other.
Ryan?
Okay, I'm going to go with the book again. But this time...
The book again?
There's something I love. The depth of the storylines. It's something I love. Not something I hate.
Okay, I put the right token up, but I put it on the wrong side of the board. And
so you love to hate it.
Yeah.
I'd love to hate it, but I love it.
I'll say I like it. I mean, obviously, unfortunately, Kyle didn't read the stories.
Well, I wasn't given time to.
Talk about it, Ryan. You were always getting this stuff a lot more than I do with these kind of games.
The storylines? Well, the storylines from what I know, there are four factions to this, so... The two guys actually playing, it's not good or bad guys. They're actually a good guy and just an independent. It's really quite interesting.
So the humans are the good guys, the wolves are the neutral, independent guys. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And from what I can understand, because most of the stuff I'm just looking at a little bit of pictures and trying to gather all the information of the history of this world from that, and it's kind of hard to do.
Because the rule book gives you, there's probably, what, about 10 pages of history between the two factions there?
Yeah, yeah.
Between the world and the two factions.
Tell us a little bit about the characters that you have, and then also about the world before you that just, it gets to where it's like, I mean, you have an entire world that's just, and you could go on forever with buying these guys and stuff. And, you see the characters later on. I haven't read into later on, but, I mean, you got a whole bunch of characters to play on.
And if you want to get more in-depth in the story, they do sell army books, like, that to tell the history of the various races. I think there's, I look on the website, I want to say there's close to 15 different factions in this game. There's, like, 5 good factions, 5 evil factions, and 5 neutral factions. They got a pretty map of the world there.
And here's a nice, yeah, look at that. It's a wonderful map of the world, and it just shows how, I mean, you got deserts, you got mountains, I mean, you just got everything to where you can play all sorts of scenarios and all sorts of battlefields. Mm-hmm. Do they have, like, battleships they can play to where they can play in open seas?
Not in the current edition of the rules. I don't know about earlier editions. Not that I know of.
That would be a really sweet thing.
That would be funny. You can get different games inside the Sailor universe. Like,
are there any flying units?
I don't know.
Groups?
There are dragons.
Yeah, there are
dragons. There are dragons?
I don't know what rules they have between the flying units, but there are dragons in the game.
Okay.
Okay, well, let's go ahead, and I'm going to jump on... Oh, crap, the wrong button again. My next topic. I want to talk about how this game handles army books, in the sense that if you played 40K or Fantasy, you know you have to buy books to play a certain army. And in the way they handle it here is that, at least at the current time, I don't know if all the army books are out. I don't think all the army books are out yet, but the actual rules and stats for any given faction are freely available on the website. The army books themselves contain those stats, but also they contain a lot of the background details of the unit. So, in this case, if you actually wanted to play an army, you don't have to buy the book. You can download the required stuff for free. But if you're interested in the backstory, you can go ahead and you can actually buy the book if you want to get more in depth in the story. I just really like that, how the fact that you don't have to buy a book to play a faction. Mm-hmm. Only if you want to know more about it.
You don't really know
about
the history. I mean, you could still
I'm
get
sure
stuff
you could find online
it.
Somewhere yes. anyways about the history.
Do you like it?
I do like that.
You say, right? Yeah. Because, you know, if you've listened to the old reviews in the past, you know I've kind of been ragging on Games Workshop for the fact that you have to buy these stupid books, that actually if you want to play the factions, and not only because of the fact you have to buy the books to play them, but if you want to play against them, you have to have the book too, in the sense that if we're two different armies in 40K here, myself and Ryan, I really don't know what his army is capable of. I mean, I don't even know if he's freaking telling the truth. This way... I mean, granted, you could look in. He'd have to let me look in the book and read the rules for myself. But it just slows down gameplay. The fact that I have no idea what I'm going up against. But this way, now I can go on their website and hopefully, because they're only doing this, as far as I know, until the books come out. I'm really hoping that they keep doing it after the books come out. But all the special rules for the factions and all the unit cards are online, downloadable for free, which is absolutely awesome.
Including the cards?
Yes, the cards are downloadable free, but obviously you won't get the nice card stock they're on. They're just paper cards. But at least you have the cards. Look at how much units how much they cost, how much they function as things.
Okay. Which are expensive.
Yeah, which are expensive. And as far as at least nobody around here actually sells them. I had the special order of this set, and when I went to the special order of this set, the guys kind of said, "What game are you talking about?"
This isn't really a
very well-known game.
It's been mainly a European game, so okay. I think the first two editions weren't even published in English. So
I shouldn't really be making fun of the French, because French people are probably watching this and they're going to go after my So.
Oh, maybe.
I'm not going to apologize, though. So.
We have got hits from the French YouTube site. So yes,
really?
We do have people from French come through the
show. Okay, I'm sorry. As a matter of fact, I
got to say something. I have ancestors who are French, so I'm not totally bashing because I am part French, but but still.
I'm about as English as they come.
But I'm German, too, so I'm a mutt. So.
I am a massive mutt.
Well, we can talk about our family histories another time, but...
Scottish?
Yeah, so I'm just saying, if I'm insulting you, I'm insulting myself as well, so...
All right, well, that's enough of that.
Tough luck.
Ryan. Kyle!
Ryan!
Wow, how long?
We're changing.
I'm turning
into Kyle.
How about we call it's Ryle? That way, you're both... Therefore, I'm always half right instead of being
I'm
wrong.
I'm quiet.
Okay, Kyle. Anything else you want to tack on and talk about?
Oh, God.
You heard him.
I'll talk about the maps.
Like them or hate them?
I think they're lacking in, you know, possible detail. Yeah.
Okay.
I like how they fold out, but...
1 second. Ryan, like them or hate them?
As being a starter set for this type of game, I'd have to say I like them.
Okay. And I'm going to agree with Ryan and say I like him as well, and we'll go explain that in a minute. Kyle, start talking.
I just think it's lacking in, you know, possible detail. You know, I'd like to have, you know, more than just, you know, one, two-sided. If they had, like, a couple different, you know, areas, that'd be nice instead of, you know, crappy drawn bridges and... That is a horrible bridge on the other side. It's a horrible bridge. Well, I mean, I'm sorry. I can draw a bridge better. And, you know, maybe a two-year-old could, too.
You want your soapbox, Kyle, for this?
No, okay. I'm fine. I don't need a soapbox.
So we can interrupt him, right?
Yeah, he understands. I just want to say one thing. There's no requirement you have to play on the maps for the game.
Okay.
Yeah. It's a miniature game. You can play on a table, a floor, garbage bag.
A set. And I've learned my lesson from last time when we did review Lord of the Rings. When you can expand on this and you don't need to use something like this.
Okay, I wasn't sure.
And as a star set, it's good just to see what
possibilities
there. Yeah, what the terrain is and what you can
use.
It's just nice, for the fact, the starter set, in the fact that it works with the scenarios they give you. Like, you know, they have a set of scenarios how they want you to learn the game, and that gives you the size of the boundary you play in. There's obviously no requirement. Obviously, if you played larger games, you couldn't use those maps unless it just be a giant parking lot of guys. And then the movement tactics would not take advantage because of the fact everyone's jammed in there as tight as they possibly can. So I guess I'll say, do you want to say something first before I go on talking? Anything you want to add?
Nope.
Okay. So the reason I like it is, one, they are pretty, even they are kind of, these things are kind of crudely drawn. And two, they fold out nice, unlike Hail Action Flicks maps, which came on the boosters all blocked up.
I was thinking the same thing.
I have not seen the Halo Action Clicks yet.
Oh, you haven't done those yet?
No, I haven't
played Halo yet, and there's no reason to play it.
Sorry.
If you didn't like any Whiskey's other stuff, you're not going to like Halo Action Clicks.
Oh.
In fact, if you're a Halo fan, then
yes.
Yeah.
But they're good quality maps. They give you a nice standard size to play on. And they are kind of small when you guys run away, but I'll talk about that when I get the courage. Okay.
I know.
Okay. Ryan?
Okay, what was it?
Crap, monkeys. There we go. I had a hard time with that dang timer. You can go probably one more round of
you
each.
You have a hard time with the remembering names.
The cards.
As in the
bountiful cards.
As in the mountain that you get?
Yeah.
Okay.
Just them in general.
Yeah, so that's haterade, I assume, right?
Yeah, yeah.
That's sarcastic. I gotta say, I hate them for different reasons in terms of the quantity.
I hate them for multiple reasons.
Yes. Okay.
Ryan, start off hate fest.
Okay, first of all, when you start using these things, and they say, like, there's one form of playing this game is called Marauder, and how you play the cards is when you shuffle them, and then you... And Kyle wants to cut the deck. What's up with that? I don't get that.
And there's nothing fundamentally wrong with how... I actually like how the Marauder works.
Yeah, I like how it works, but not with four cards.
But the interaction... Well, can you say why you don't like it? I'll say why I don't like it.
Well, that's one reason why I don't like it.
Okay, let me comment on why I don't like that.
Okay, go ahead.
The fact that these cards not only represent the unit, but have the stats on it. So if you've got them all stacked up here, and the first guy that draws out in this case, it was a spearman, decided to attack the hunters... Who the hunters are still in the deck, and if you don't know the stats, how do you do that?
It's possible. If those cards are online, you could download and print them out.
You can. That is easier, but we're lazy, so we're
but
not
with
do
the
that.
Fact that giving the starter set, that kind of is crappy, because you can't legally look at what other cards are still to come, but yet you need their stats that are on the cards.
Maybe you should write them down on a piece of paper.
Yeah, you have to do something like that.
Or you can do what I've done, or given remedies. I mean, you can have one, then say this dude's going to fight somebody, and you can. Just remember what order they're in and just take a look at them and then set them back. I mean, it doesn't really matter if you know what's coming next or not.
But it does.
Then, you know, if your guy's next, oh, that's cool, versus you may take a little more risk.
That's true.
If you don't know your guy's coming up next.
I take back what I said right there.
Because the fact that you can look at those cards takes away all the strategy of that type of game mode.
Yeah, pretty much.
And then the other thing, like I was saying before in the rule book, saying that you have to look at what is what. I mean, even though, I mean, they do give symbols and stuff. I like to have it a little bit more spelled out on the card saying, okay, this is shield, this is attack, this is strength.
And then the general, isn't that like the same way? Where because you have both facing down, was it general rules that are facing down?
There's six different ways you could play. So some facing down, some facing up.
Like,
you know.
Yeah, it would be the same way where you can't look at them until.
Yeah, same. So that probably won't exist other types of gameplay.
Yeah,
and I'd like to have just as a last thing, I'd like to have more cards per squat. Say if you have a card per four guys, you would have two of these cards. That'd
be nice.
Might have been a little bit better.
That creates confusion in one of the scenarios, the fact that you have only two cards. Okay. Next topic. I'm going to talk about the courage rules, how you guys run away from combat and flee and stuff, and why I think they're this game didn't do them very well, so hate a raid.
You know my view on them.
Well, I forget. Were you irritated about them?
Yes.
Okay. And Ryan?
I would say I like it.
You like it, okay.
I'm including that as part of, you know, being able to disengage from combat.
Okay, that's okay. That's fine. So the reason I don't like them, well, basically they work pretty similar to other games. If your guys take so much damage, they got to make a courage test or run away. If your guys, you know, like, try to charge a terrifying enemy, they got to make a courage test. But the reason I don't like them, especially with that charging a terrifying enemy, because just about every other game out there, if you fail that, you guys just don't do the charge. In this, they run away like little girls. I mean, it's just kind of stupid how the fact that if you try to charge a guy, you know, a terrifying guy, and then if you lose, you run away, and it's like they wouldn't do that. They just hold their ground. Two, I'll give you about a minute to talk. Two, the fact that there's no factor for large numbers of guys. Even if the guy is a giant wolf twice your size, if you have 20 guys attacking them, you should not be afraid. You can swarm them and beat the crap out of them without any trouble. There should be some kind of modifiers in your advantage if you significantly outnumber them in some way, or you have greater power according to terms of their rules.
And one way I can agree with you in that sense, but in another sense is, and how this is one thing that I do like better than Lord of the Rings, one minuscule thing, how it does convey reality. If you're like a little guy approaching like this monster, not even a wolf, like something that's described in this book that's, you know, humongous and just totally wipe you out, you're gonna be wetting in your pants. In reality, you're gonna be wetting in your pants.
But you're not gonna be running away. You're gonna be more tactical. You're not gonna necessarily charge right into
them. Like I said, and you could probably do something to where you can change the rules and to say that they lose an attack. Something like that. Something other than
Okay, you can talk for
completely
a few running away.
Running away should be.
Let's do the disengagement rules. Totally separate topic.
This is my first one.
Okay, well, do the engagement rules next.
That's fine. My problem is when the big guys, the wolves, charge in. The guys like the the griffins don't need to roll a courage roll. Yeah. No, you know, when you see something running twice your size at you, you want to run away. It gives it like a lower defense value to you be able to, you know, hit them while they try to turn run away.
Okay. And one thing I understand is these guys and these, you know, guys profile. These guys are courageous sons of a guns. I mean, these guys will stand up against anything and not be afraid. So I don't know why they would have the courage.
And they're pretty high rolls you got to make, but yeah, it's like fourth and fives. But okay, Kyle, your next topic.
Well, the disengaging.
Yeah, okay, disengagement. I assume you don't like it.
I do not like it.
Okay, and I don't like it either.
Disengagement. What do you mean?
If you want to leave combat, any guys that are base contact with the enemy immediately die. No questions asked.
Really?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I hate that too.
Okay, and that's why we never used it, because it's like I said, so I describe what it is. Why don't you like that?
Because it limits tactability. It really, you know, limits what you can do. It forces you to stay in combat, even when it wouldn't be smart to. Maybe, you know, when you run away, you get a chance to be hit, you know, easier.
Yeah,
that's fine. Exactly.
Most games out there, if you leave combat, the enemy gets some kind of free attack on you. So there's a chance he might die, but here it's just like you die guaranteed. Okay, I got nothing to say if you guys don't have anything else to say. And the reason that kind of, when it works with the courage rules, that can get really frustrating, because say when the wolf guys charges a squad of humans. Now, there's no courage test made there because the wolves don't need to make a charge in the humans. But the next turn now, and say the wolf guys base the entire human squad. So now, the next turn, if the humans want to attack the wolf guys, if it's the first time they face the wolf guys, they have to make a courage check. And if they fail the courage check, they're going to run away next round. Possibly run away next round. And if they do end up running away, they all just die right away. So, I mean, the fact is, it's not even like they even, like, lost. They just give up when they, if they, like, if they're attacked, and they, I don't know, it's messy.
Yeah, I understand.
So the thing about the rules is it is kind of a little messed up to where some rules intertwine with others to where it's like, okay, how does this write itself? It's a little confusing.
I would like it if, you know, if it's like, you know, like it should be, if a terrifying enemy charges you, like Kyle said, you should immediately run away. If you don't immediately run away, you should stand, be willing to stand and fight, because, you know, you're trying. I mean, I can see maybe if those guys, you know, kill a certain percent of your army and attack, then you run away because you lost a lot of guys. But if you're still just kind of standing there fighting, you're going to fight for your, I don't know. You can make arguments either way, I guess, but I just don't like
how
it works.
It's more likely, you know, the way we're saying than the other way.
And you quickly, and die, guys die quickly, so. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, that's 2 minutes of that. Let's see, what do we got? We're at 35 minutes. Do we each 6:41 minutes?
I'm can pretty much done.
Huh? I got one more thing I want to talk about.
Can I say something?
Sure, go for it.
Just the anticipation of looking forward to like grand scale battles. That's something that would definitely be a
if you want to pay the money for it, I'm not going to do.
Well, that's
that's the thing is once you remember what the amount of money costs, you're like, what?
Something that would be, you know, a cool thing to do, which should be it.
Yeah, make your own figures.
Yeah.
Even if they're crappy.
It wouldn't be that hard to do, I don't think. But I got one last topic to talk about, and then we can do our final reviews. Do you guys have anything to say?
I'm good.
Okay. One really cool thing I like about this game is its universal resolution tables. There's one table for every kind of resolution, regardless of what it is. So what do you guys think about that?
You know what? I do like that.
Yeah,
that's
good.
It's a nice reference card, you know.
Yeah. That's the only thing you didn't have to look up in the book. It was actually something outside, so it's something I did good.
So on basically your typical baseball card styles card here, how it works is whenever there's any kind of test, whether it be to hit a guy, to run away, to do damage, to do this, do that, they have this universal resolution table. And essentially what it works is every person attempting something has a skill. And there's some kind of difficulty score opposing it. And you basically subtract the opposing score from the skill level, reference what is in this chart, and it gives you what you have to roll, you know, to pass the test. So I'm holding my hand here, the classic Battletech Total Warfare book, to give you an example. Even though this is the best game ever made, how not to do tables. Compare that to, say, here we got about 6 pages of tables in the back here for every type of damage, every type of attack. You can do missile hit tables and things.
That was fun when we had times.
Oh, I love Classic Battletech. Compare that with the fact where you've got one card for how to resolve everything. This one card is downright awesome. I love it.
Generic conventional infantry?
Yes.
Yeah.
And then there's
and
also
then
power battle armor, protomechs.
And then where you hit somebody, how much damage you do when you hit somebody.
This is only buildings and infantry table. It's not just infantry table. It's
building.
High
altitude
it is building
table.
That's aerospace fighters.
Battle mechs, which is its own.
Yeah, battle mechs are a little further back.
But which you have like different like parts, and then how many missiles hit each one.
And they hit where? Do they cause criticals? Then they got
a
reference.
Like
where do they cause criticals? And what happens when a single SRM-2 blows your second most powerful mech up in one shot?
Really? That's happened?
Yeah, that happened the last time I played it.
So it hit your head?
No, it hit. It's a brand new 85-ton mech, nearly only a little bit of damage on it. A single SRM missile hit it. Critical damage, hit an ammo bin with no case, blew the entire mech up, and he lost the game because of that. But long story short, the rule book's kind of convoluted, but these universal resolution tables are awesome. They're really making speed up.
Very good.
No cross-referencing tables or anything. It's really simple, straightforward, great.
I like it simple.
Yep. Okay, so we're done with all that. We're going to do our final reviews here, and one thing we're going to do a little differently is we've always had kind of a standardized, essentially 5-point system that I always want to get away from the standardized systems. So if you want to use those, you're more than welcome to, but you're not going to be required to. And what we're going to do is we're going to give each of us 2 minutes to say whatever we want about the game. So let's roll a die.
We already said what we want.
Yeah.
If there's anything else, up to 2 minutes, if we want to say anything else about the game. So roll a die, highest, or we'll go from lowest to highest.
One.
I'm last.
Three. Okay, so Ryan, you get 2 minutes. Say, give your final reviews, anything else you want to say about the game.
Okay. Well, as far as this game goes, like I said, the artwork is wonderful for the figures. You can tell there's a lot of history. And you said this is the
fourth edition. It's been out for, I think, 6-7 years.
Okay, so there is a history to this game.
Yes.
It is a game, if you have the money, and you want, like, epic grand scale battles, and, like, you're into that stuff to where you don't really have a life and you just want to...
Wow, thank you. I mean, it's like we don't have a life for a
I've insulted a major country, and now a major part of our viewing demographic. Thanks a lot, Ryan.
Yeah, Ryan. I mean,
I didn't have an energy drink today either.
It's awesome. Keep talking. No.
Okay, I'm still talking, so shut up.
He's allowed to do that. It's his turn to talk. Go.
Yeah. Okay. And you see, I mean, I was reading here some of the storylines. Like, they're talking about characters that aren't even part of this, and like, there's one dwarf that goes into these caves and gets captured by some mighty god, and
I remember here.
And the dwarf ends up getting enslaved and goes back because he had four other companions that, like, left and were cowards. And it gives you a history, this thing does. And this is just another age of this world. And it's, in a way, it's a lot like Lord of the Rings, only not as famous. Mm, and are there novels to this?
I don't know.
To this?
There may be, but I don't know.
If there were novels, they would probably be good reads because of just the grand scale of things.
So I'll just give you a summary of the game quickly. You like it? Don't like it? You should buy it.
Good game.
Okay.
I think. Definitely not over Lord of the Rings, but it is a very good game.
Okay. Well, I'm next in line here. And what I've got to say, comparing this to other games out there, it's kind of unfortunate the starter set's so relatively pathetic, because, I mean, it could potentially be a really fun game. There are some kind of quirks with how close combat damage is resolved, and don't got time to get into that, but... that compared to some of the games like Lord of the Rings or War Machine, but the fact is, it's a very generic rule set overall. A lot of the stuff that's in this game has been done before, and there's some really cool things that I would like to see, like the massive titans they have, these giant figures, but I don't know if they're even available right now. So if you're currently involved in another game, I really can't recommend trying this. It's nothing to quit another game over. If you're looking for a fantasy game, give this game a try out. It's kind of fun, but the reality is try the Lord of the Rings, Warhammer Fantasy, or even War Machine. They're all much better games than this, because they all have either been around a long time, have a cool story to them, or they have little rule quirks that kind of make the game a lot better than this, because this is just a really generic run-of-the-mill fantasy game. So nothing. It's okay, but I really can't recommend to go out and buy it in a hurry. Cal?
Well, as Ryan said, the painting on these plastic figures, amazing. No reason for the figures, though, to be able to move around, you know, spin. And why would they need to? I mean, and...
Look cool.
Yeah. It's not even cool.
It's all about showmanship.
I'm sorry. I don't see how it's cool. I mean... with mechs, because they're giant machines, that's fine, you know. Mm-hmm. Even though WizKids products are WizKids products.
Enough.
We've insulted too many people today.
Okay. TWK.
Don't turn into me, yeah. Kyle.
Yeah.
I'm not really turning.
Keep talking about this game.
Gives you a lot of, possibility to large scale, battles, which is, great. Pathetic starter set, though, and... that's just not going, does not get me wanting to spend all that extra money just to get to the point where it will be actually really fun to play. So I think in the end, it's not a game worthwhile your money and time and effort to actually put together where it'd be, a large enough battle where it'd be actually fun to play. It's really way too many other games out there that you would have to play first. And if you're just, spend money like it grows on trees and you like, then,
watch the language.
I apologize. Then, go ahead.
If you got time to do it, play
If
it.
You have time and lots of money, then play it. But if you don't, then, it's not worth it.
Okay, well, we'll finish the show up here. It's been going almost 45 minutes. That's our final reviews about it. Last little thing here, I got another book sitting back here for a reason.
You didn't...
War Machine Prime Remix. Now, this is a rule book for you guys. It's absolutely... it makes that Age of Confrontation rule book look like a piece of crap. It's totally beautiful, much better laid out. Seriously, it's for $25, this thing is freaking huge.
Oh, yeah, compared to $25. Yeah.
And it's all full color. But the reason I got the War Machine rule book out here is... back in the third episode of this season, we did the review of Lord of the Rings. It wasn't really a new game. at least new to us, but you know, it had been out for a number of years. And I got an email from a listener named John. He was asking me if we could do a review of War Machine. I was thinking, well, we possibly could do it, but I figured, you know, it's been a while since I played War Machine. I haven't played with the most latest up-to-date rules. Why don't we go ahead and do it? I think it'd be fun. It's been out for about four years, but you know what? I guess a lot of people, they've played one or two games their entire life. They really don't play a lot of diversity.
No.
So maybe fun just to let you guys never played War Machine. We'll do a review of it and check it out. And also, since we're doing classic games, I don't really have a whole lot of other games line up this year for review. Maybe I'll go back to the gym as a request for Battle Lore if I get a copy of that. So might be doing that also later. Because the only other new game that I'm going to be able to get a hold of that's coming out this year is actually made by Privateer Press, the guys who make War Machine. It's a new game, Monster Apocalypse. It's a collectible miniatures game that's set in the style of Japanese monster combat, like Godzilla kind of stuff. So it'll be kind of fun. It could be really awesome. I can see it getting screwed up really easily. But it'll be kind of, I can definitely try it out. It'll be fun. So, anything else you want to say?
No.
All right. Well, then. Questions, comments, or if you want any, send any hate mail to Ryan, send it to jason@rockwithsoftware.com and all four of the hate mail along to him.
And then just try not to hate me too much. I am not drunk.
No, he's not drunk.
And I'm not getting married.
Yet. Maybe in the future.
Maybe in the future, but...
YouTube proposals are usually not something we take our... offers up.
Or demands.
Or demands, or yes.
Well, so, unless they're willing to pay Ryan lots of money, then he'll consider it.
Okay, but that's not... did I say it's Jason at rockosoffer.com yet? That's rockosoftware. So, with that, I'm Jason.
And I'm Kyle.
I'm Ryan.
And thanks for watching. We'll see you again in the next episode of the Tabletop Battlefield.
Copyright 2007-2008 Rocco Software, licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial License.
The intro music Down With Everything is by The Transfer and is acquired from www.podtapelighter.com and is used in their Creative Commons license.